is a virtue. Show folks where you stand. Lend a hand when you can to your fellow man. Hold a plan for the day when you can't walk the way you used to. I want all my people around me. Everybody living good. Everybody eating good. Everybody chill. I want all my people around me. Everybody eating good. What I want from my mother was an undercover thugger trying to get to the wealth, to the thug life, put my brother undercover. Now one of us gotta be around for the love of her. Turn my life around and was real up the others. I'm the ones serving you facts, was the ones serving you daughters. Please be mindful with some Judas and some mothers. Let's go.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mic, and Kindred, a family soul. When all my people around me, you know, we have an exciting show on this eve of the 4th of July, Independence Day, but I was reading an article in the New York Times about some algorithms. Actually, the preacher yesterday during church was talking about how these virtual retailers like Amazon and social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, have created algorithms to get you addicted. I actually have I have a student in my class that is absolutely addicted. I've told this kid numerous times, listen, man, you know, you're in class to learn. You cannot be on social media. He just, you know, he does what he wants to do. He's basically an adult, so if he wants to, he can. I mean, I can't. There's little I could do. I could throw him out of the class, I guess, at some point. And I realized that myself, I'd become not so much addicted. I'm really, extraordinarily a disciplined person. So, I'm conscious of what I'm doing, you know, all the time. And, you know, certainly if I have to modify my behavior, I do. But what regards to like Facebook, which I use a lot. I also like Google Plus, you know, in terms of social media. I do realize that I have been using it an inordinate amount of time. But you know, something else that was interesting, and this goes back to what the preacher was saying, is that I was on something, I don't know whether it was social media or just another website, and something that I had been looking at on Amazon had popped up, literally populated the page. And I was like, well, wait a minute, how is that possible? You know, I'm not on Amazon. So the article is entitled Smarter Living, See What the Internet Knows About You and How to Stop It. It's by Tim Herrera, and it's dated July 3rd. He starts off by saying, my mom, hi mom, isn't exactly a tech expert. We have a stereotypical boomer parent, millennial child relationship. I helped her update her OS which is operating system for those not in the know, and figure out her cable bill. She cautions me about sketchy hackers stealing my identity and warns me not to open strange mail email attachments. Just because you're paranoid, she likes to joke in her motherly way, doesn't mean they aren't out to get you. I laughed and brushed it off. But Mom, I'm here to say you were right. The relentlessly unyielding but highly profitable personalization of the products and services we use is getting deeper and creepier than ever. This type of data is incredibly valuable. We're producing a ton of it every day, and it's all being used to turn us into products. As one Facebook developer famously said, the best minds of my generation are thinking about how to make people click ads. Let's go down this rabbit hole. Start with this neat and medium scary site, which your friends at Gizmodo flag. That shows you everything your browser knows about you the second you open it. Here's another one. That's just your browser. Everywhere we go online, we're being tracked. Facebook, which you probably know better, which probably knows you better than you know yourself, built his business around figuring you out. Here's how to see what it knows about you. Google, too, is built on selling you advertising. This guy, you know, he writes, his writing is very disjointed. I don't even know how he's publishing the Times, but I'm trying to follow along, so just bear with me. This is literally how the guy's writing. That's your browser. Everywhere we go online, we're being tracked. Facebook, which probably knows you better than you know yourself, built his business around figuring you out. Here's how to see what it knows about you. Google, too, is built on selling you to advertisers. Here's how to see it thinks you are. Twitter, they're watching that, too. Here's how to stop it. Your email, watching that, too. Here's how to stop it. Your Amazon account, yep. Here's how to stop it. Your general internet browsing, they are watching you. Here's how to stop it. While we're at it, just go ahead and lock down your whole online presence and look into some browser extensions that protect your privacy. Be safe out there, they're watching. What did I miss? How do I guard your online life? Email me at tim@newyorktimes.com or tweet me at Tim Herrera and let me know. It's not a very good article, and it doesn't get into the meat and potatoes of how to protect yourself online. There are some tangible ways you could do it. You could go to the privacy settings of your browser and enable it to not allow anyone to track you. There are companies that do this. He's absolutely right. And then they sell the data back to social media or to online virtual advertisers and that sort of thing. Virtual retailers, virtual stores and that sort of thing. So you just have to, you know. And the other part of it is, you know, putting on a lawyer hat, is people, you know, they share a lot of foolishness about themselves. And there is going to be a time, this is going to be a Supreme Court case, mark my words, boys and girls, where people are going to say, well, they're entitled to privacy. And the Supreme Court is going to rule that you have divested any interest in privacy by virtue of the fact that you posted the steak that you had last night, or you know, some other you know, inane banality. So you need to be careful. I don't do it. I have social media accounts. I use a pseudonym for obvious reasons, and what I post is primarily political. It's nothing personal. I don't post pictures or stories about my family, my children, none of that. So no one knows me. They just know that I'm passionate about the subjects and the topics that I respond to. But that's the extent of it. So I'm not, you know, and I guess, you know, because of my training as, you know, a social scientist, a lawyer, and you know, I know better, in other words. I really do. And so you really have to be careful about what you're posting. Don't, you know, know, and where you're going, and you know, if you're you know you have a penchant for pornography, certainly, you know, those you're going to be tracked. It's going to be that simple. And you know, I was talking to somebody the other day. Well, actually, you know, probably my girlfriend. And you know, she's worked you know, in as a contractor for the federal government for many years, semi-retired now, I would guess. I don't really know, but at any rate, I was telling her that OPM came out with some new rules on this, Office of Personnel Management. So any of you that are seeking work in the federal merit system, federal workforce, that is the agency that vets you for suitability for federal employment, and they have published rules that explicitly allow agencies that are vetting you for suitability to look at your social media accounts. So you got to be very careful. You know, there was some about three or four kids that got accepted to Harvard, and then for some reason, inscrutable reason, they decided that they were going to post some racist, you know, really obnoxious post on a platform, and you know, Harvard got wind of it. You know, I'm telling you, people are watching, and they. You know, they rescinded their offer. Yeah, so I know their parents were incensed. You know, they're probably incensed at Harvard, because this is how people are. You know, instead of being incensed at the person that actually engaged in the misconduct, you know. So these kids blew their career before they had it. And, you know, Harvard is not going to, they're not going to reconsider. That's done. That's a done deal. So that's pretty stupid. So, you know, again, this was an interesting piece. It wasn't well written, but it's an interesting piece, and I have begun to do that myself, and sometime I forget, but if I don't typically engage in, you know, behavior that brings me opprobrium, so, you know, I don't really have to mask my identity or browse anonymously online, but I just do it because I don't want these I don't want my data to be sold, because like I said, I'm still trying to figure out how Amazon managed to do that, but I will in a minute. Actually, probably sometime today. I have some time when I'm in my classroom. I don't know what I'm going to do with these kids today. They basically I got to look and see when this class actually ends. I believe it ends in the middle of the month, so I believe we have about another 10 days. So I guess we'll build another computer, or maybe take apart a laptop. I don't have a plug for it, because I was going to show them that the whole architecture is markedly different from a desktop, a workstation, you know, that sort of thing. So I have some time, and I'm going to look and figure out how Amazon has managed to track me, you know. And then, again, a lot of this stuff is contained in the cookies. So you got to be careful of, you know, what they're sharing in those cookies that allow you to get back to that site relatively quickly. That's all it does. It has no other added benefit except to allow you to do that. Let's take a break and come back on the other side of the break, and finish talking about something else that's in the news. I mean, this is talk about bizarre. And we're back here at Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, podcast form today. We're not broadcasting live. I'm going to upload this little podcast, and you guys can listen at your leisure. So there's another story in the Times today. You know, I promise not to talk about Chump, the brain dead comic Carnival Barker, but this is just, I mean, this is beyond appall. So this is written by Michael M. Grimbaum on July 6th. Chump posted a short video to his Twitter account on Sunday in which he portrayed wrestling, in which he is portrayed wrestling and punching a figure whose head has been replaced by the logo for CNN. The video, about 28 seconds long, appears to be an edited clip from a years-old appearance by Chump in WrestleMania, an annual professional wrestling event. The clip ends with on-screen restyling of the CNN logo as FNN, Fraud News Network. Cartoonish in quality, the video is an unorthodox way for a sitting president to express himself. But Chump has ratcheted up his attacks on the news media in recent days, assailing CNN and crudely insulting the host of MSNBC's Morning Joe while defending his use of social media as modern-day presidential. In a speech on Saturday at a faith rally in Washington, Mr. Trump was met with cheers when he referred to CNN as garbage journalism and said the fake media tried to stop us from going to the White House, but I'm president and they're not. The wrestling video, which was also posted to the official @POTUS Twitter account, stirred criticism, disbelief, and dumbfoundedness. Some journalists denounced this portrayal of violence as dangerous, saying it can incite attacks or threats against news media employees. I think it is unseemly that the president would attack journalists for doing their jobs and encourage such anger at the medium, said Dean Baquette, the executive editor of the New York Times. The administration did not respond to requests for comment, but Chump's Homeland Security advisor, Thomas Bossert, defended the video when he viewed it for the first time during a broadcasting interview with Martha Raddatz of ABC News. No one would perceive it as a threat, Mr. Bossert said. I hope they don't. He is a genuine president expressing himself genuinely, Mr. Bossert added. A version of Chump's video appeared last week on Chump's dedicated page on the message board site Reddit, a popular meeting ground for some of the president's most fervent supporters. The CNN logo is superimposed on which appears to be the head of Vince McMahon, wrestling magnate, a friend of Mr. Trump, who is in his pre-presidential years often appeared as a guest on wrestling shows. Mr. Trump's fans on Reddit were exuberant about what they viewed as validation from the country's most powerful man. I love this, wrote a user identified as American Crusader. You know he saw it, chuckled, and knew he could control the media narratives for days by hitting the post button. So he did. The president's allies said his attack on the news media are justified, arguing that the president is merely defending himself from coverage that his supporters view as biased. Chump's war words with CNN, especially popular with his voter base. News media advocates, however, have raised alarms about the recent spate of arrests and assault on working journalists, including a high-profile episode in which a Montana congressional candidate, Greg Gianforte, assaulted a reporter for The Guardian, breaking his glasses. Mr. Gianforte, a Republican, went on to win the House seat the next day. He later apologized to the reporter. Groups like the Committee to Protect Journalists, which usually focuses on country reporters' freedoms of curtail, said they are concerned that Chump's campaign trail rebukes of news organizations are now being issued from the pulpit of the White House, targeting individual journalists or media outlets on or offline creates a chilling effect and forces an environment where further harassment or even physical attack is deemed acceptable, Courtney Rash, the advocacy director for Committee to Protect Journalists, wrote in a statement on Sunday, adding that Chump's comments may embolden autocratic leaders around the world. Trump, who is spending part of the weekend at Trump National Golf Resort in Bedminster, New Jersey, posted the wrestling tweet just as prominent Republicans began appearing on major Sunday news programs. On CNN, Senator Ben Sasse, a Nebraska Republican and frequent Trump critic, accused the president of weaponizing distrust towards the news media. There's an important distinction to draw between bad stories or crappy coverage and the right that citizens have to argue about that and complain about that, Mr. Sasse said. But Tom Price, the Health and Human Services Secretary, bristled when asked on the NBC program Meet the Press about Mr. Trump's string of anti-media remarks. This is really remarkable, Mr. Price said to the moderator, Chuck Todd. Your program, a program with the incredible history of Meet the Press, and that's what you want to talk about? Some White House aides said privately on Sunday that the president was being held to a double standard. They argued that Trump's video was akin to a recent exchange on MSNBC in which the host, Chris Matthews, was discussing Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and jokingly praised the Italian dictator Benito Mussolini for ordering the execution of his son-in-law. Uri Fleischler, who was press secretary to President George W. Bush, wrote on Twitter that he found Mr. Trump's video to be in poor taste. But, he added, the reason POTUS does this is because the press has made themselves unpopular. It's a fight POTUS actually wins much of the country. For my bottom line, which won't happen, the press should be more fair to Trump, and the president should tone things down. Ari Fleischler. Right. Mr. Trump regularly accuses CNN of bias, and he taunted the network last week after he was forced to retract a story about one of his close allies. On Saturday, hours before posting a wrestling video, Trump tweeted to his 33 million followers, and think about changing the name Fake News CNN to Fraud News CNN. On Sunday, CNN issued this response. It's a sad day when the President of the United States encourages violence against reporters and networks, said in a statement. Instead of preparing for his overseas trip, his first meeting with Vladimir Putin, dealing with North Korea, and working on his health care bill, he's involved in juvenile behavior far beneath the dignity of his office. We will keep doing our jobs. He should start doing his. It's pretty good. In keeping with the online nature of many of Mr. Trump's disputes, CNN also applied directly to the president on Twitter, highlighting a quotation from a recent White House briefing by his deputy press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. The president in no way, form, or fashion has ever promoted and encouraged violence, Ms. Sanders told reporters on Thursday, if anything, quite the contrary, which, as we all know, is simply untrue. You know, he actually, I was watching, I didn't really, during the pre-election, during the campaign, I didn't actually watch a lot of coverage of Trump, the brain dead comic Conor Barker, simply because he's disgusting as a human being. And, you know, we're from New York, so we know this clown. And he's not a nice person, you know, stiffed a lot of his contractors, refused to pay, you know, a lot of lawyers have taken him to court because he refused to pay his legal fees. So he's a reprehensible human being. So we were not fooled by his populist appeal to the ignorant. So at any rate, I just happened to be watching a convention, one of his campaign-type events, and I guess because it was one of the protesters was being let out, black guy, young black guy, late 20s, early 30s, something like that. And one of Trump's supporters elbowed him in the face. It was a martial art move. You know, the guy was in the 70s. And the sheriff deputies that were escorting the guy out did nothing to apprehend the guy. But I read an article just a week or two ago that they had finally brought charges against the guy. Because I know the sheriff had got on television shortly after that and questioned why his deputies didn't do anything to arrest the guy. Instead, they, you know, in typical fashion, you know, they you know, surrounded the guy and threw him to the ground and stuff like that. This is the guy that got assaulted and was being escorted out. You know, and this is, you know, this plays right into our whole, a whole nother discussion about police brutality, and that's That's a series of shows, not simply one show. I just wrote another piece about it, about this whole situation with Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker. And you can take a look at our website, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net, and see what we've talked about, because it's really, you know, it's the last gasp for white supremacy in this country. It's no other way to parse it. So we're going to be talking a lot about this over the next few months, and we're going to be talking about it right here on the Marketing Pulpit International New York Edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman. Had a great 4th of July holiday.